All right, so I'm not quite sure where everybody's at today, but I assume that some of you at times can feel hindered. Perhaps you felt this way. You've got a goal in mind, but you're having a hard time getting it accomplished. My son Aaron has a word for this feeling. He calls this being frustrated. That's F-R-U-S-T-E-R-A-T-E-D, frustrated. Aaron will say, I'm frustrated. And we get what he means. He has an obstacle in the way. And Aaron's a very high-energy kid who has he's very missional. And he doesn't like it when we stop his mission. He's a very creative kid, and he loves creating things. And so we really appreciate that about him. But if you've ever sat in traffic trying to make an appointment, it can feel very frustrating when traffic comes to a standstill long enough to make you officially late. That's just not a good feeling. Okay, honey, call the doctor. Tell him we're not going to be there. You know, we thought we could do this in 2.5 hours. It's now 3.5. Do you know what I find always helps getting on, working? You just get on that horn and you just hold it. You just hold that horn. It always gets those people out of there. I'm kidding. Okay. All right. Just saying. I didn't do that. Occasionally I'm tempted, but this should work, you know. Well, hindrances are a part of life, and we're all hindered in some way. The scripture also is full of examples of God's servants who encountered hindrances. Paul said Satan thwarted us, or he hindered us. So the Apostle Paul was no stranger to being thwarted. And I know sometimes we want to make the distinction that here's Paul, obviously on a mission from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we too can be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are times where we might feel like Paul did. I feel like, wow, I feel like Satan might be trying to thwart us here. I have felt that from time to time in the ministry here, just in life, just the things that my own family has to address and take care of. And sometimes you have an idea of how could we get this done. And as I spoke last week, I said church is often a labor issue. It really is having people who are co-laboring together in the same direction. How can we walk together in agreement? How can we move forward unless we're agreed together? As a wonderful, powerful theme throughout the entire Word of God. Doctrinal unity is very, very key, especially when we're moving forward, that we think alike. We're not thinking like, well, you can have your own thoughts, but you know that you believe in the direction of where this church is going. Moses seemed, and it's funny when in sermon prep, I start in my mind sort of, okay, on Monday, I'm going to go here. But by Saturday, I've gone here. And so I was thinking as this theme was sort of developing, we're going to get back into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a few minutes today. But I was thinking about the life of Moses. And you should do your own study on the life of Moses. Moses is he is much like us. He's weak and full of excuses. But God fortified him and strengthened him for the task. And Moses seemed to express that he was hindered by the Israelites, who murmured and complained against him as he was tasked to lead them. He says at one place in Numbers, "These people weep all over me. Give us meat that we may eat." Can you just imagine? They are now out of bondage and slavery. And they think about their immediate need, and that's their appetite. And that they at least said that we had at least covering back there. We at least had nourishment back there. And look at us. We have to rely upon God. You know, and sometimes that's a place that some of us don't like to be. We actually have to rely on the Lord. And the Israelites teach us a lot about human weakness. I love Israel because they teach us really what's in all of us. But this is a kind of a test case. It just shows what's in every human being. And we see things about human weakness in the nation of Israel. But we also see the power of God through them. And that's what I believe Paul is teaching here in 2 Corinthians. That power can be made perfect in weakness. So that this power is not from me, it's from God. And he's the one. We talk a lot as our family. We were talking about just preparations for this weekend. And Amanda made a very good statement. She's like, "Dad, it always gets done." I'm like, "Well, wow, you're right. It does seem we wind up back here again. We thank the Lord for every opportunity that we get to be a part of this church and to do what we can. And yet sometimes it feels like your strength is limited and your resources are limited. And I'm thankful for how some of the people in our church are visiting people, calling people, encouraging people. And so Moses obeyed God by lifting his rod and stretching his hand over the sea. Oh my goodness, I get 2 million people behind me. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. Catch this picture. The ever-present Lord pushes back the sea, building right in front of their eyes walls of water on the right and the left, giving a vivid picture of deliverance and protection. What's going to happen if that water collapses on 2 million people? You can benefit when you read these stories. They show you the power of God. And this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the scripture says, is working in us. We have to recognize that power. We have to truly understand what God is doing. And if you haven't read Exodus 14, get reacquainted with it. It kind of reminded me of what David said in Psalm 139. You've hedged me in. These people were hedged in by water, crossing a vast body of water. And as the last person gets on dry land, God allows that water to collapse upon the enemies of God. Wow. This water was deep. People say, well, there's lots of liberal opinion today about what really happened there, and it's not correct. This was parted water. These are raised walls of water, making a pathway for the Israelites to go through in quantity and safely. And so I just had that picture in my mind about the goodness of God. And actually, the Apostle Paul actually points back just in the previous chapter to the giving of the law, that it came. It really was, the whole purpose of the law was to show Israel that they needed God and they could not be justified by keeping this law. And that's what happens to us oftentimes. We're trying to obey God in our own flesh, in our own humanness. And we think, and one of my big questions looming in my head as a 12-year-old was, I truly believed that I could convince God that I was good enough to be in heaven. I actually thought that, God, I'm a good kid. And you've heard this story. If you've been here for a while, I tell this story because it's still fresh in my mind. Because clearly in my life as a child, I knew there was a God. God allowed me to sense that he was there. But I didn't know him. As I liked what Jordan shared this morning, faith becomes real in our life. And I used to binge watch David and Goliath on Sunday morning. At the time, it was only 2 episodes on a morning, on a Sunday morning, but that was my church growing up. And God used that to show me that God was there. And I remember watching that Easter Sunday special, and David's grandmother dies. And you guys remember that episode? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. A few of us. You want to watch it after church? Just see me up here. I'll bring it up on YouTube. The idea that, I recognized early in my life that this life is not, you can't really count on it. I had a 5-year-old cousin who was killed in a fire. I remember that. I'm like, Larry was here one day and gone the next. I'm thinking, my goodness. And I think we all live in this life with the sense that there's an uncertainty. But guess what? Jesus Christ is the certainty. And he's the certain one. He's the guaranteed one. He's the one that you need, even when you are so weak and you've left him. You feel like, I've left him. Jesus talks about leaving our first love. We can leave our first love. We can stop loving him as we once loved him. I would say this is the day to come back. Love him all over again. He wants to love you all over again. He wants you to know this intimate picture of love. And so last week we talked about this idea of being in trouble and trusting. We're in trouble and trusting together. That's really the picture of the church. We're in trouble, right? We're in a world of trouble. We have circumstantial trouble from time to time. We have illness. We have things that are bearing down. We grieved with a family last week in Connecticut. And I mean, it's just life. And this is the way this life is. And Paul talks a lot about that. Hard pressed on all sides, but not in despair. I need this message as much as you do, okay? But I want you to stay for it. I'm going to preach it anyway. So I encourage you to just really to see yourself as a person always in the need, right? I'm always standing in the need of prayer. I love what Paul said last week. We looked at this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? These weak bodies. Matter of fact, the scripture says that they're decaying. And we're going to look at that in just a couple minutes. that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't it awesome that our life can actually demonstrate the power of God? God is at work in you. And the thing that I think I learned in my life for a while was I was trying to push away weakness. And there's a big push on the church today to be hip and cool. And sometimes we want so much for, you know, we don't want to reveal our blemishes. We don't want to reveal our weakness. Well, you walk through a nursing home and you realize there's a lot of people with physical blemishes in here. And this is something that we have to remember, that this the only guarantee we have is that Christ can transform this body in the twinkling of an eye. That's the assurance that we have, and that he can do that. And that's the power that our Jesus possesses. And so Paul would say, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. This is from last week, a little review. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, I'm not quite sure that we quite have the Apostle Paul's pressures. He actually reveals more about that in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, I have the pressure of all the churches on him. But I don't minimize your pressure. You know, some of you guys are, you got pressure. You've got busy schedules, you got work, you got kids, you got school, you got all the things in just life. And it can get tiring and it can get weary. And sometimes the church takes the back seat. And as I think about what God might want to be doing here next in this church, it's always about, God, how are you going to work through the people that you've given here? How will you supply the needs for this church as we move forward? And I'm very thankful for what God's done in this church over the last 2 years. And I'm continuing to trust him, because there are days where I say, Lord, I don't know. We feel like we had a wonderful 2017, but 2018 seems like we're being led in some new directions, and we're just really going to believe that the Lord's going to show us what to do, and he's going to teach us what to do. This is fighting the good fight of faith, the Apostle Paul says. See, we are trusting God based upon the perfect position that he has given us in Jesus Christ. We have perfection, whether we think we're perfect. God sees us as righteous because of Jesus. And that is a great place for you to always go back to. Now, if you're not in Christ today, this is your day to get into Christ. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a precious promise. Every person should just heed that one. That's really taking God at his word. That's saying, God, I believe the record that you sent your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as an atoning sacrifice for the world's sin. Anyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. And the wonderful thing is, you get to get in on the action now with the Lord. God is working through your life to accomplish things that he may not choose to use somebody else, but he'll choose to use you because of your personality and your background and perhaps even some of your baggage that you haven't let go of. Sometimes as you recognize that you're weighted down by different things like that backpack, what an illustration. Jordan's going to be carrying a burden, right? That thing must have been 300 pounds. I don't know how you're going to... No. But, you know, but sometimes I think we don't see ourselves quite as free. And this is why the flesh is still very much alive in our experience. It's very much alive. And sometimes I look when I walk through the nursing home and I see people who are in trouble physically, and now they're really in trouble. Like their body's just showing that I'm just beat up. And a lot of us know family members like this, just beat up. They're beat up by life. They're beat up by the circumstances. And yet they are living out their days really in a state of dependency. And I'm so thankful for Harry, for your nursing home ministry. Harry is focusing in Chaplain Lois. Lois is in a hospice care situation all the time, getting to walk people down those roads of making sure that before they leave this life, are they ready to see the Lord Jesus? Are they ready to meet him? You know, it's just so wonderful that I love that picture of the thief on the cross, that we never, ever take away the hope that someone can come to repentance and faith in Christ, even in their 80s. But don't delay, because there are times where the hardness of sin can make us not even able to hear those words. We talked about last week how the mind, that Satan is the blinder. He is the one who's trying to blind the mind of the unbeliever. And he's been very successful. You know, just bring up Jesus tomorrow morning at work. hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, and he is the only way to heaven. Whoa! You know, sparks fly sometimes. But it's the truth, because he's the record of God. He's God's record. He's God's gift to the world, and yet the world rejected him. But see, because of Jesus' kindness and mercy, he continues to offer himself. And so God foretold that the nation of Israel would reject him. And yet God still has a plan for Israel. Don't ever forget that. God has a plan for Israel. They're not replaced with the church. We are the church, the bride of Christ. We belong to Jesus because that's what he did for us. He loved us and gave his life for us. This is always about relationship. This isn't about performance, that you just perform your way into the approval of God. You gained the approval of God because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Live in that joy. Live in that freedom. And I want to continue with this theme, and specifically now serving with the future in mind. I put some points in the back of your bulletin. You can follow along with me. And my daughter says, Dad, you like alliteration. You like these rhymey words. Well, I kind of do, because I think hopefully they stick. Right? We want our thinking to kind of, we want to be able to track with the scripture. And if God would like to get something through our thick heads today, and I'm putting myself here, you are in the process of being completely made new as a believer. It's an ongoing, everyday deal. That renewal has not stopped. The moment you receive Jesus, that renewal is underway. And yet, as we're often hindered to see that, our mind can be certainly just hindered. And we focus sometimes on the sin within. And we're supposed to focus on what Jesus Christ did for us. And we need to look to the Spirit's leading in these days. And we need to think about how do we think correctly, scripturally, about ourselves before the Lord. Because the hindrance really, for terms of what God wants to do with us, have been moved out of the way, which really was our sin. And that's how great the grace of God is, that God can take through one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and make it applicable for anyone who will trust him. Do you just bring that news to somebody? Your sin has been removed from you. God is not holding, keeping score of that sin anymore, because Jesus was a full payment for that. And now we want to be moved and directed by the Spirit of God in our lives so that we perhaps will sin less, if you would. That it's not our present experience as much. We still will deal with it, but that's not us. Paul said, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. Right? The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go with the stuff that you can count on, right? Not that unpredictable sort of fickle stuff that makes us sometimes feeling very unstable. Instability is God's desire for your life and my life. This is always, if God can get you stable on his word, you will be able to navigate a lot of the stuff. And as the hindrances come up in your life, as Paul would say, none of these things move me, okay? That is often the challenge of the Christian life, is that we are taken off. And I will pray for you. I'm going to continue to pray for us as a church, that as stuff comes up into our lives, that we would find that we're not quickly moved from our sure foundation. And I think it's always important to recognize the very reason why Jesus came into this world. He's taking on what was going to destroy us, and he removed it from us. So now we're just living out lives that are still affected by sin, but it's not us anymore. We're a new people in his eyes. We're blood cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us from all sin. I hope you enjoy your freedom today. Okay, I got one. I'll take two. Okay. So, thank you, Bill. So let's read the scripture. It's going to be up on the screen here. This is chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We were doing a little bit of... Anybody doing any spring cleaning? A few people. Where does this stuff come from? Like, this stuff just accumulates. And I realize, what were we thinking? You might get something. You realize you used it. It has no, you know, lasting purpose anymore. Somebody might. And I got to tell you, one of our favorite stores is the Bourne Town Dump. It's called Dorothy's Place. It's take it, leave it. It's like, leave your good stuff and take someone else's good stuff. Or, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But we've furnished most of our house. No. But seriously, there's some truth to that. But anyway, there are people who just throw stuff away. I'm like, hey, let's repurpose that, you know. But I realized that 18 years, I'm watching my kids grow up, 18 and 16. I remember being in hospitals with Beth and Nanda and Aaron and all this stuff. And here we are, we're blinking and it's going and it's fast. And life is just moving. And we should be okay with that because we're heading towards heaven. And just delight in knowing that you've got a wonderful future. If your life is cut short at any point and you are in Jesus Christ today, you are going to be with Jesus and we are going to celebrate. That is the joy that we have in this life. I look into your faces and I just love you guys. I just love looking at you. I thank the Lord for you. I praise God that I'm going to get to be in heaven with you forever and ever. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be thanking Jesus for what he did for us. We're going to be casting back at his feet the crowns in which perhaps we earned because he's found us faithful. And there's the soul winner's crown. And there's many other crowns the scripture talks about. And I think of people like Bob Haley who are in the hospital right now. And he's looking for an opportunity. He said to me, tell Brother Dennis to bring me some Gospels of John. There's some work to do in this place. I'm like, okay, take the memo, brother. You know, so sometimes there's just somebody. I tell you, somebody said to me one time, I said, oh, he said, somebody said to me in the hospital, a guy who went through cancer, and he was a former pastor. And he said, you know, I saw the... Saw the people, the medical staff, and they're like, oh, so sorry you got cancer. He's like, don't be sorry. I wouldn't have got to meet you. So some people have the right perspective. Don't be sorry. I wouldn't have gotten to meet you. So some of these divine appointments, if you would, are scheduled by God. But Paul says here, he calls this a light affliction because he realizes what's really, where the real weight is. It's in glory. It's in transformation. And I don't minimize anybody's present suffering, present pain, present difficulty, the weights that you carry, the burdens that you might be bearing today. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, all to bring you to him. You should just rest assured as you're in Christ today. If that's the only thing you can rejoice in, that you're right with God, go for it. It's always good to rejoice in Jesus. I am telling you, I need to hear this myself. Paul says, for the things, while we do not lose heart at the things which are, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Sometimes we don't realize how new we are becoming in Christ. We're being renewed inwardly day by day. And I believe that the manifestation of that renewal is when we really sense what God is doing. And you get that from the scripture. Look at all of Paul. Paul is pushing you into the new man. We have a Bible study called New Man because we believe that men need to be reminded that they're new. I spent years in men's ministry. And I would at times come away from there feeling like I'm a failure. And I'm leading this thing. Some of these guys are saying, you know, men need to step it up. And I totally believe men do need to step it up. And we do need to be the leaders in our home to the best that God can. But sometimes feeling like a failure can be a real burden to carry. And if you have failed and you sometimes recognize that in your life, sometimes it's hard to get beyond that. But let the Lord bring you to that level. Let him bring you to that place of that he's not done with you yet. I mean, look at Peter. You know, I mean, just think of how he calls Peter after that horrible moment in Peter's life. But Jesus knew that would happen. Jesus knows we're weak. Take heart in your weakness, you know, because Paul says in that you're going to actually know Jesus Christ even better. You're going to know how he is going to work in you. The church just should be comfortable embracing their weakness. And I think if God does great things in this place in the days to come, it's because we're going to say, thank you, God, for what you have done. Thank you for what you made possible through these people. And someone, you know, I've learned people, we're getting a reputation that we're kind of an autistically friendly church. And I'm like, wow. We have kids in our classrooms who are on the spectrum, but we have a caring group of teachers who love these kids and who are making Sunday school work for them and who are bringing the truth of God alive to their hearts. And that's human weakness. They say, what is it, like 1 in 50 kids today are being diagnosed with autism. It might even be lower, 1 in 35. And what is it? It was like for years it was like 1 in 300. I mean, so many kids are on the spectrum, so many kids with learning disabilities. And I'm not sure what's all behind that, and we have our speculated what can cause some of that, but regardless, they're here. And we want to be a church that can deal with needs. Maybe we are the church that becomes sensitive to families that have special needs situations, and that we're thankful that God is doing that. You guys belong here, right? I got special needs. I'm a special needs pastor. And it's the truth. You know, I remember in my own life where, you know, my mom was going through a difficult period of time, and she wasn't with a very pleasant man. That was not my dad. But you know, this guy wasn't very nice, and he kind of made me feel pretty crummy. And it kind of left some marks, and I remember that. And I said, you know, you could listen to those lies. A lot of us have been kind of fed a lot of lies in our life. But Jesus broke those lies. And the cross declares that. So when you might feel junky or like a loser, you're listening to Satan. And Satan would want to compound that so much in your thinking that it holds you back. You're loved because Jesus says you're loved. That is just so sweet. So renewal is underway as you want to maybe make a couple notes in the back of your bulletin. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. God's got you covered. Now, he can deal with us, too, if we're uncooperative. The scripture talks about people who've gone home to be with the Lord early because sometimes they don't get what I'm saying. And I believe this is scriptural. We look at opiate addiction today and all this stuff, and people just suiciding and killing themselves and drinking themselves into an oblivion. I believe a lot of people are saved and they don't look like it. And perhaps they got reached through a vacation Bible school when they were 7 years old, or they were at some place where they heard the gospel, or they watched a Billy Graham crusade. But there's no guarantee that every Christian's going to grow as they should. Now, we want that, and we want to make a provision for that as a church. But there are times where you can just be brought right back into your old ways because you underestimate the power of that old nature that Jesus Christ died for and paid for. And we want to be, and with the necessity of every believer being filled with his Spirit is so vitally important. And this is really the participation that God wants out of us. And this intimacy that you may be feeling this morning of what God might be saying to you, you know, be like the psalmist. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Right? I love that. The honesty of the Psalms will save your life. Let that be the spokesperson for your heart. There are times in your own life you might be like, I don't even know what to pray. Well, go read a psalm and let the psalmist cry out to God for you. Unite your voice with the psalmist. Say, he speaks for me, Lord, because this is me. Whether it be addiction, depression, whatever it might be in our lives, recognize that you can bring even that to God. I know people in my life who've been fully delivered from alcohol addiction. Talking to somebody the other night, addicted to alcohol and made whole. Christ delivered them from that. And that's another whole industry unto itself that is highly destructive. A lot of people can't handle one and done. People, I've heard pastors say, I have one and done. Well, I actually say, you know what? I don't want any because I've seen what it does. I want to stay away from it because I'm weak. Right? That's what I just tell you. I'm weak and I'm not going to go there. I don't want to go there. And just remember, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, your light affliction is temporary. Just look at the last 15 years of your life. You probably don't even remember what was the light affliction 15 years ago, right? You've kind of just blown right by it. Some of us have periods in our life that we may remember seasons of affliction, and they're hard. But see, God's gracious and he's working. And he promises us that regardless of what we might be feeling in the present moment, he's working it together. For God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love him. You love God because you love Jesus. That's always the first step. Take that first step. I see him as God for who you declared him to be, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and I trust him. You know, if you were to turn over to 2 Corinthians 11, I might just read that because I think it, as one pastor says, this is really the resume of the Apostle Paul, and I think it bears reading. I'll just read it out loud for you. The other thing I'm learning, I need glasses. I'm like, my goodness, these things just don't do what they used to do. Okay. So I'm at verse 24 in 2 Corinthians. He says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes. So here's Paul being very badly treated physically for his stance for the Lord. -1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in the perils of robbers, in the perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So when Paul calls his affliction light and momentary, it puts it in perspective of really what he dealt with. And so as you and I struggle with burdens that we carry, you need to recognize it's temporary and God is working it for his good, should you be trusting him to do that. And the other thing I just want to leave you with is reinforce your mind with scriptural reality. Paul says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, we're looking at our vehicles and they're climbing up in the mileage, and I'm like, yeah, I can get another 50,000 out of these things that are already over 200, you know. But they're fading and they're temporary, and my vehicles are, you know. If I'm like the Beverly Hills guy driving down the street and the whole thing's rickety, just wave. Not really. You all come back now. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Bill's Mr. 70s memorabilia television. He'll keep you laughing. But, you know, it's just temporary. My house is temporary. My vehicles are temporary. It's all temporary. My family's temporary, at least in terms of this present situation. I watched, as I said, a dear friend of mine for 10 years. We worked together in radio broadcasting. And he watched my wife go through cancer, and we watched his wife go through cancer. My wife remained. His wife is with the Lord. And so last week it was like a flashback of memories of what we as a couple remembered with Barb and Brian, and 54 years old. And I'm like, thank the Lord she's with the Lord. And it was such a Christ-honoring memorial service. It was such a Christ-honoring time to celebrate Barbara Doyle. The woman was just a dear, you would have loved her. Everybody loved Barbara Doyle. It was just sweet. And we think about Barbara and we miss her. And my wife couldn't stop sobbing on Brian's shoulder because she's like, God keeps me here. And he's taken my dear friends. So my wife says, what's the purpose behind all that? I'm like, God has more work for you to do. God is faithful and he's working in her life through all of her afflictions. Just watch my wife in a given day and she'll tell you it's not easy. But I know she's looking forward to Jesus coming because she's going to be with him. Remember that commercial they would show? Bill, you remember this. This is your brain, and they showed an egg, right? And they crack, right? They crack the egg in the scalding cast iron pan. This is your brain on drugs, right? This is really what you need to see it. This is your life. And this is your life in Jesus Christ. You are seated with Him now in heavenly places. You're already with Him, and you are just waiting for the adoption where He says, you're officially mine. We're waiting for that adoption to happen. And He can make that happen when He wants to make it happen. But we're already being made, we're already being prepared to be with the Lord Jesus forever. You are seated with Him in heavenly places, the Scripture says. And Paul says this, behold, I tell you a mystery. Paul was given the mysteries of the church and how this wonderful period that we now live in, the church age, this dispensation, he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And if you know the very beginning of this chapter, he's talking about the resurrection from the dead. This chapter really deals with what has happened because Christ is risen. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. This is the trumpet that's going to make all things right for the believer. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, transformed. For this corruptible, right? Decayed. One scripture and relating to that word in 2 Corinthians 4 really talked about this body that's in decay. And I'm not trying to depress you, but I am talking reality here today. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is a non-negotiable with God. And He loved us this much that He made this all possible. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The Scripture leaves no question that the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. But people who set dates, don't listen to them. We're not date-setting people, but we are expecting people. We are expecting Jesus could come at any moment. There are many who are looking at the convergence of signs in the world, and I think we need to be paying attention to what's happening in the world. There's a lot of prophecy teachers, biblically-based prophetic teachers, who are looking at some of the events of our world and saying, wow. I mean, there's just a lot going on in our world. You've got a whole push on artificial intelligence. You've got the ability to surveillance the world. You've got Antichrist technology that is alive and well right now on planet Earth. And thank the Lord, He is going to remove the church ahead of that time. So when this terrible time upon the earth is coming, that Israel once again will be able to see Jesus clearly, and they'll look upon Him who they've pierced. We as the church will be there receiving, will be at the judgment seat of Christ, receiving the rewards for our faithful service with Him. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for the truth of Your word that just needs to become more real to us every day, bringing the realities that are bearing on us every day, this body of decay that we don't like, that we're trying to keep it fresh and new and fixed up, and yet, Lord, it can't. It needs to be made new by incorruption that God has for us. And we thank You so much for what You're doing in this church, and I thank You for the believers that you're building their faith and You're strengthening them, and their clarity is becoming more focused on their promised future. For the glory of God. It will be too amazing when we're in heaven, Lord, to say, wow, what You have done for us. How faithful You've been. How loving You have been. How You held nothing back. And our service to You from this point forward is completely voluntary, that we get to serve the Lord. We get to give to the Lord. We get to be an encouragement to one another. We get to do this. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Lord, may this become a privileged place of service in this church, that people who are looking for opportunities to serve, that they would say, I get to do this. Continue to lead this church, Lord. For those who feel like their light affliction is not very light but heavy, Lord, would you lift their hearts today and just urge them to trust you more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. How we need to do that, Lord, once again, even now in this moment. If you need prayer this morning, if you're someone who's carrying a load and you want me to pray for you, just slip up your hand. No one's looking around. If that's you, I'll pray for you right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are the one who ministers life and you minister help. We thank you for the body of Christ and the church family that can uphold these burdens, Lord, and we can be praying for those who are in need even right now, carrying that load and losing focus. And sometimes we just feel that we don't know where any more strength is going to come from. But this power is not from us. It's from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful to continue to walk. And I pray for those in this room right now who just need an added touch from you right now. A blessing, a reassurance, a promise, Lord. Bring that home to their hearts. And continue to speak to them. Draw them closer to you than ever, Lord. May revival be in this place. May we become a revived people. A people who have already been made alive in Christ, but we need the continual revival and renewal that keeps us focused and loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.